Let's pray. Lord God, your word proclaims that your son came into his own, and his own people did not receive him. May we be willing to receive not only your son, but your word too, for we certainly need both of them. For in both there is hope. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, the 5th through the 20th verses, and then the 24th and 25th verses. Hear now the word of God. The birth of John the Baptist is foretold. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents of their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," and she said, "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Hope. Hope is one of those words that we like to do. Yesterday was a big hoping day, if you were a college football fan. There were a lot of people dressed in orange yesterday, hoping. And there were a lot of people dressed in garnet who were hoping against them. And the people in orange went home sad yesterday, didn't they? Now, there are 4 or 5 people dressed in black and gold who were in Athens hoping against the people dressed in red and black. And those 4 or 5 people went home sad yesterday. There are people over the last several weeks who've been hoping that their candidate would win by a landslide. And then when they got through counting, they were praying they would just win. Sometimes we hope bad things on people, don't we? We not only hope they lose, we hope they get embarrassed. We hope, don't we? Hope runs. We even hope evil things, God forbid, because we are sinners. Hope. It's a thing that's important. Hope. Our scripture tells us that Elizabeth and Zechariah were righteous people. They were obedient people. They were faithful people. faithful to God. We know that they were righteous because they had faith. Abraham was faithful. He had faith, and that was reckoned to him as righteousness. We are saved by grace through faith, right? Faith is important in our lives, and faith is the bedrock of our hope. That's where we get our hope, is in faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is something we can secure ourselves to. We are secure because of the belief we have of the ways we've experienced God in our past and in our present, and hope is for something in the future based upon that faith. Faith is important. Belief is important. Now, I know that very few people know this here. I doubt anybody knows this here, but I'm going to give you a history lesson in Georgia history. Over in Appling, Georgia, the county seat of Columbia County, there is a Baptist church known as Kaioki Baptist Church. It is the longest continuous meeting congregation of the Baptist church in the state of Georgia. They started meeting together in 1772. They are named after a creek that runs on the back of the property. They have been baptizing people in that creek since 1772. They still will use it sometimes when it's not cold. Well, there was this young man, a teenager, young boy that started showing up at Kaioki. And he and some of his friends decided they wanted to be baptized, and they wanted to be baptized in the creek. He had never seen a baptism. Now, the first part of what I've told you is really the truth. The stuff I'm telling you now is not. But it's the truth as I heard it. This young man goes down into the water, and the Baptist preacher puts his hand on his back, and he's standing like this, and he puts a hand on his chest, and he dunks him under, immerses him, and brings him up, and he's sputtering and coughing, and the preacher says, "Do you believe?" And before he can answer anything, he's dunked again and held down a little longer. And then he's brought back up, and before he can answer, he says, "Do you believe?" And he doesn't have time to say anything for spitting. And he goes back under for even longer. When he comes back up, he says, "Do you believe?" And he said, "Yes, I believe you're trying to drown me." In that moment, he was hoping also that he was going to not be put back underwater. Hope is something that happens in the future. It is based on our faith in Christ. Our faith. It's important to have hope. Hope matters. It truly does. You see, because in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth, they realized that God was planting living things in barren places. We've all known barren places, haven't we? Arid times. Times are hard. Where do we get hope? We get that hope in Jesus Christ. We get that hope in what we believe about Jesus and who he is. It comes from a firm faith. That's what happens. You see, for our hopes that we have, sometimes they're evil, sometimes they're good, but when Christ comes into our life, our ultimate hopes are based upon two requests in the Lord's Prayer. They really are. Every hope that we have in this world should be premised upon these two requests of the Lord's Prayer, that God's kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because that is what we have hope in. That is the basis of our hope, that the kingdom of God will break in into our lives in the most barren of places, in the most arid of places of our lives. And we've all been there. And that God's will be done in our lives. Truly. So are we a people of hope? Are we? In the midst of your worst days, are you a people of hope? Should this hope be manifested in the way we live out our faith? It should. It truly should. It should be seen in how we respond to people. It has to be in the way we treat people, the way we respond to people. Years ago, I've been trying to think of this name of what we did, but when our oldest daughter, Allison, who will be 43 in a week or in a few days, my wife is going to tell me that when the birthday is. She was seven, 8 months old. We enrolled her in swimming classes. We went out to the country club with 30 of our closest friends who all had babies under a year old, and we were taking our child to go swimming. And so I got in the pool with Allison, and I was holding her, and what we were supposed to do is hold her and hug her, and then we were supposed to put her out in front of us and drop her. I mean, we were in the water, you know, and just let her sink and let this baby start coming back up to the top. It was a thing. I don't know if they've outlawed it or not, but it was good. And she came back to the top, and we would do that again. We'd hug her and all that. And then we got out of the pool, and the parents do what parents do. They went to the concession stand and bought some food and drinks for the kids, sat them over there, and they went back to the concession stand and got them an adult drink, and they went over here. Now, it gave me the willies. I mean, the heebie-jeebies jumped all over me because I'm over here looking at all these adults having a grand time, not paying attention at all to these people over here who cannot swim, and there's no lifeguard. Y'all with me? These people were only concerned with what was going on in their life. They didn't care anything about those people. And it was, should we go tell that their child's getting ready to fall in the pool? That their child just left out the gate? Do you think we should? I couldn't deal with it. It was hard. My old lifeguarding training, water safety instructor stuff, I mean, it just got me afraid. But the more I think about it, that's how the church is. We're so like that. You said, oh, not us. We can be so absorbed in our own life and in our own faith and our own hopes and our own dreams that we don't care about anybody else's hopes or dreams or care or their faith. We can be so involved in our own lives and looking at our own selves in the mirror, we think we're entitled to treat people any way we want to. How many have seen the videos, I don't know if it's on TikTok or YouTube, where it shows people treating people at fast food places really badly? They weren't happy with their order and threw a whole cup of Coke on the person who was waiting on them. Or somebody being really unbelievably rude to somebody who was trying to help them. And my question would be is, I don't know if they have members of the church, but they very well could be. And we talk about hope. Our hope is that everybody would have hope. Isn't it? That in the midst of our faith, that faith that saves us through Jesus,
Christ, and we, our greatest desire and hope is that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and his kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. We need to be about making sure that we are sowing seeds of faith and hope in the lives of people who are living in arid places. Amen? Truly. And if we're only concerned about what's going on in our life and never look outside of our selves or outside our doors, it can be unbelievably tragic. They're hurting people who will never know the hope that we have if we aren't willing to spread the seeds of faith and hope. 40, I don't know how old I was. It was not long after June and I started dating. I met her older brother, Rod Greenway. He was cool. He was about 30 years old. He was married to a beautiful woman. He had a little boy about that tall. He was a football coach. He drove a Jeep, baseball coach, drove a Jeep. He was cool. He was a great guy to be around. He was always nice, always friendly, always inviting, always hospitable. He's been that way ever since I've known him, even when I hadn't been that way to anybody. He really has. He spent his life coaching and teaching, working for the state of South Carolina Department of Transportation. They don't do it right in South Carolina. South Carolina, the state owns all the school buses, not a county. And so he worked for the state, and he was over the school bus shop and had every bus in Aiken County. That was part of his job. When he retired, he became an assistant principal at elementary school. And so he began being the principal, assistant principal, for some of the people he coached in football and baseball. And then he became the principal. And all along, he's been a deacon in his church and head deacon. But everywhere he goes, he sows seeds of faith and hope in people's lives. This past Tuesday, June and I went over to his house because he always invites us to stay in his barn. It's really an apartment, but we call it the barn. No hay. It's a bed. We got heat, minimal heat, good air conditioning when it's cold. It's a nice place. Anyway, on Wednesday morning, we go to Waffle House, that healthy place to eat breakfast. We went to Belvedere, not North Augusta. We get there, it's crowded, and all of a sudden these two guys walk in. And he stands up and he walks over. He got the biggest smile on his face. And he says, "That guy used to pitch for me." And he went over and they shook hands. Both of them smiling at each other with great amounts of admiration. Just care for one another. And he was proud for the ways in which and the way that guy had turned out. And the other guy was proud that Coach Greenway still knew him. And he sat down and they talked. It was beautiful. Next day, he and I go to a different Waffle House. I was needing a little more lubricants in my diet. And we go to a different Waffle House. And this man walks in, is in his mid to late 70s, and his 90-plus-year-old mother. And he jumps up out of the chair, and he goes over, speaks to this lady, gives her a hug. She's beaming from ear to ear, and the guy's beaming ear to ear. Because they have known each other. And the older lady had planted seeds in Rod's life. He had planted seeds in her son's life. It was a seed planting reunion. This hope, this joy in the midst of watching each other. Now, he's 78 years old. Rod went back to work about a month ago. He is a hall monitor at the high school. I can't think of a day that I'd want to do that ever. Even in high school, But he has gone back to North Augusta High School. He has a hall named after him on Greenway Avenue, and he's the hall monitor. He says it's very interesting. He said all the hall monitors are all retired men. The teachers, the students, everybody calls everybody by their first name, except for him. They all call him Mr. Greenway, out of respect for all the seeds he's planted, all the years and lives he has made a great impact in faith and in hope and love. And I watched that for 40 plus years, 45 or 6 years now, I guess, I don't know. And I think, what an example to so many people to have a faith that is filled with hope for the goodness of what God can do in our lives. And there are those people here in this congregation. And all of us need to aspire to have that kind of faith to plant seeds so that we can change the lives of people who are in barren places. Because when we plant those seeds and it flourishes in the plants and it bears fruit, it helps our own barrenness and our own arid times. And then when we see them plant seeds, it helps. May that be us. I want you to do this for you. Do it for yourself. Don't do it for me. I want you to take a few moments sometime next week, this coming week, and think about moment by moment how much time you spend in your own faith journey, your own relationship with the Lord. Do we have a growing faith, or is it just on autopilot? How are we dealing and feeding our own faith journey? And do we spend all our time on us, or do we plant seeds of hope into other people? How do we spend it? I hope that you won't be, when you get to the end of the day, you figure it out because of my attitude, the way of my anger, my discouragement, my disgust, my negativism. All of that would be the thing that I would be known for. I think it would be a good exercise for us at the start of this Advent season. May your life be filled with faith and hope. Let's pray. Lord God, may new life happen in the barrenness of our own lives. Till us. Break us up so that faith might grow, that hope might grow, that we might be able to plant seeds in the lives of others. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.